don't be surprised. I'm not going to walk as fast as you guys. Because I'm old. My name is Mordecai. My father, being filled to overflowing with pride that his firstborn child was a son, named me after the ancient prophet who was the husband of Queen Esther. In my people's tongue, the name means warrior. My mother was not as pleased with my name as my father. She was afraid that I would seek to become a warrior, to live out some mystical kindred to my namesake. Although she did not speak her mind in front of my father, I am sure that she was much at peace when I was taken on by Samuel the elder to learn the trade of carpenter. That was a lifetime ago. It must be 50 harvests gone by if it is but one. So many years of toil and hard work. So many years of despair and want. So many years of cruelty and death. The peoples of Israel, my people, have been conquered and enslaved for so long that my children and my children's children have never known a day when they were not ruled by their enemies. But now there is talk that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, may be the Messiah whose coming is foretold in the ancient writings. It is said that he has great powers, that he has turned water and turned it into wine. He has blessed a blind man, and the man's sight was returned to him. At the market 3 days past, Sarah, the wife of James, was telling that Jesus had gone to the house of Lazarus, a man who was known to Jesus, and finding that his friend was dead, this man Jesus went into the tomb and brought Lazarus back to life. I cannot bear witness to the miracles that this man Jesus has performed. But I can tell you of the great crowds of people who lined the streets of the city to see Jesus as he and his disciples entered Jerusalem. I had been summoned to the Tiber Square by the centurion Darius Illyrius, who commands the auxiliary legions that guard the city gates, and his soldiers oversee the prisons. Pontius Pilate is the Roman prefect who governs Judea, and he shows favor to Darius Aurelius. I have made tables and benches and stools and chests for the Roman soldiers. I have also sawn and shaved the palibums and the stipples and the settles that the prison guards use to build the crosses that are used crosses that are used to crucify those that commit treason and the most heinous crimes. The requirements from the Romans for the Palatians has increased tenfold since the new prefect has been installed. But I stray from my story. On my return from my meeting with the centurion, I was caught up in a great sea of people shouting praise for this rabbi and laying down palm branches in his path. Women and children on the rooftops waved cords of cloth, and I was reminded of the Roman banners that are carried at the lead of the processions to herald the arrival of a great and powerful ruler, a king or a general. Perhaps this Jesus is a king, for there was much rejoicing.
We rejoice in the coming of the Messiah. Surely this man, Jesus, will deliver us from Roman oppression.
But there is much danger in speaking out against the authorities. Do you not see the crosses that rise up like a great forest along the roads that lead to our city? Can you not hear the cries of pain and the wailing of sadness that wash over us like the crashing waves on?
Yes, it is true that many of our people have suffered, even unto death, for their belief in the one true God. We must take strength in our faith and ask God for courage in the presence of our enemies. Did not God grant Moses the power to defeat the mighty Pharaoh and free our people?
But where is this God Moses now? Why has God permitted the Amalekites to put them to death for the worship of our God? How can the God that has so blessed our people in past ages now turn away and abandon us?
God will not abandon us. You will see. Come. Let us prepare for the Passover meal. The sun will be gone from the sky soon enough. Take comfort in the sharing of this food and this drink.
Yes, we will come with you to prepare the Passover meal. We will sit at the table. We will remember God's promise to spare the firstborn of the households of our people while bound.
But you are still troubled. Your faces are sullen and your eyes are dark. Why must you be distressed? I say rejoice, for Passover is now upon us. I say rejoice, for Jesus, our Savior, is here among us to deliver us. I say rejoice, for the dawn of tomorrow will overcome the long night of darkness of the Roman persecution.
We will observe Passover, but we cannot, we dare not.
Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house which he enters, and tell the householder, 'The teacher asks of you, where is the guest room where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished, there made ready." And they went and found it as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover.
In the first month, on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, between the two evenings, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of the unleavened bread. For 7 days we shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day we shall have a holy convocation, and we shall do no manner of servile work. We shall bring an offering made by the fire unto the Lord for 7 days. And again on the 7th day is a holy convocation. As it has been taught to me by my Father, so have I taught this to my sons, that being that the observance of the Passover requires that all leavening be removed from our house before the beginning of the 15th of Nisan. It is our tradition that an unblemished lamb, the paschal lamb, is to be set apart from the flock on the 10th day of Nisan and slaughtered at dusk as the 14th day of Nisan ends. This we do in preparation for the 15th day of Nisan, when the lamb will be roasted and eaten. Take care not to cut the innards of the lamb, to remind us of the haste of our people preparing for the Passover in Egypt. They had no time to properly butcher the lamb, nor the goat, nor leaven the bread. The marrow, the bitter herbs, remind us of the bondage of Pharaoh. Nothing of the sacrifice on which the sun rises by the morning of the 15th day of Nisan may be eaten. All must be burned. Our laws instruct us that the meal is to be eaten with our loins girded, our shoes on our feet, and our staff in our hand. We shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. This man, Jesus, has entered our city, and now he and his followers must make preparations for the Passover meal. Strange in my mind why a rabbi from Nazareth would make the long and difficult journey to Jerusalem and to find himself away from his home for the Passover. Perhaps he will find comfort in his prayers offered at the temple.
then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. When it was evening, he sat at table with the 12 disciples. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Is it I, Master?" He said to him, "You have said so."
In my days, I have come to know many men and many women who are good and honest and are right with the Lord. But sadly, to my distress, I have come to know some men and some women who are wicked and sinful and who defile the Lord their God. I have heard many learned men in the temple who say that you must be fearful and shun those who try to lead you in the way of evil and sin. But I do not believe that a man can be led like a sheep or a cow. The way a man will go and the life that he will lead is all put forth within a man's own mind, not by the doings of his enemy or his foe. It is he himself that leads him to evil ways. Evil is the sole province of man, and as my eyes have seen, more so with men than with women. And fear is the handmaiden of evil, for men who are fearful are more given to do evil deeds. When we are born, God fills our heart with hope and love. As we grow older, we seem to replace the hope and love with fear and envy. And for some, they fill their hearts with hate. And if fear is the handmaiden of evil, then surely fear is the brethren of hate. For the boy who fears the darkness grows to become the man who hates the darkness. It is the way of man to seek to destroy that which he fears. I do not know this man, Jesus, but I surely know the priests and the Pharisees of the temple. At times it is difficult to know which the Pharisees fear more, the Roman occupiers or the Hebrew rebels. Caiaphas, the chief priest, was appointed by the Roman prefect Valerius Gratus. Gratus was the governor of Judea before Pilate. And at times it is difficult for men like me to know who is the greater enemy, the Roman soldiers or the temple guards. For both seek to punish and torture anyone who speaks out for what is right and proper. This man Jesus came to me for counsel. I would tell him to keep his distance from the holy men of the Sanhedrin.
"7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall put leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. And when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, "What do you mean by this service?" you shall say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians, but spared our houses." And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did.
Of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood." Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. With thanksgiving, let us offer to God our grateful praise.
Here we gather, gracious Savior, at your holy table, on the same night as you gathered with your 12 followers so long ago. We come unworthy, yet with grateful hearts, for as this historic Passover meal, you inaugurated the new age of your kingdom. With bread and wine shared around the table, you opened our eyes to the coming reign of God. For it is you, holy God, who brings forth bread from the earth and create the fruit of the wine. You have made us in your image and claimed us as your people and made covenant to be our God. Even though we kept turning away from you and from each other, you kept calling us back through the voices of your prophets. And when the darkness and pain of our suffering overshadowed us, you carried creation in your very being as Jesus Christ. We give thanks for your ministry of healing and teaching, which comes now to focus in this feast of the faithful community. We give thanks for your supreme sacrifice for us, symbolized in these fragments of bread and cups of wine. Bless this meal and complete it with your loving presence among us as you did with the disciples. Let us be renewed, and let us go on our way rejoicing, knowing that nothing in life or in death, not even death on the cross, can overcome your promise of hope in eternal life to come. We now prepare to share these elements in faith. We pledge our devotion to you, Lord Jesus, and we offer our lives to the work of your church on earth, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, from you all blessings flow. In this most sacred sacrament, your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, left us a memorial of his passion and love for us. Grant us understanding so that we might honor the divine mysteries of the bread and the cup. We yearn to ever perceive within ourselves the fruit of his redemption, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. As we have shared this new covenant that God has given to us, let us ever be mindful of what God asks of us.
Where there is hatred,
let peace follow.
Where there is injury,
let it be heard.
Where there is doubt,
let it be heard.
Where there is despair,
let it be lost.
Where there is darkness,
let it be heard.
Where there is sadness,
let it be heard.
Grant that I may not so much seek to be
soul as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Jesus was praying certain place. When he ceased, it came to pass that one of his disciples, Peter, said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So Jesus said to his disciples, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
And during supper, when the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, lay aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not know now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is clean all over. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, "You are all not clean." When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them."
While it is true that I am but a laborer, one who has learned the carpenter's trade of making yokes and plows of wood, I do think and ponder upon the ways of our people, and I grow angry over the life my children will lead, the same life that I have led under the oppression of the Roman Empire. I am convinced that God cannot approve of a system of servitude in which the Roman masters are guilty of assuming absolute power, of proclaiming themselves gods, and by so doing steal God's rightful place and relation with all men and women. I remember a story that my father would tell, an ancient story that he told to teach his children that we are all servants of God. And the rabbi said, "Who is there among you, having a servant plowing or keeping sheep, that will say when his servant comes in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down at the table'? No, but rather you would tell him, 'Prepare my supper, clothe yourself properly, and serve me while I eat and drink. Afterward, you shall eat and drink.' Does the master thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded? I think not. Even so, you also, when you have done all the things that are commanded, you say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have done our duty.' Our God demands our service unto him. He is the master, and we are the servants. I can see, but surely never forgive, the arrogance and sinfulness of the Roman leaders, for they worship many gods and bow down to idols. But the leaders of the temple, the self-proclaimed men of God, are no better than the Romans. Was it not the great prophet Abraham that heard and obeyed God's commandment to take his own son to be sacrificed? We are nothing without God. For now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, and to serve the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul?"
I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Thank you.
But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. He said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you three times deny that you know me. And Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he had come to the place, he said to them, Pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Not my will, but thine be done. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, Why do you sleep? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd. And the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed at a distance. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, You also are one of them. But Peter said, No, I'm not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, Certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, I don't know what you are saying. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly.
And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? He was silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his garments and said, Why do you still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision? And they all condemned him as deserving death. All this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And all the disciples forsook him
and fled.
It has been told to me that Jesus of Nazareth has prayed in the temple and has been questioned by the priests as to who he is and why he has come to Jerusalem. The Pharisees challenge him and his authority to minister to the people. Jesus has overturned the tables of the money changers and the sellers in the temple. And he has been very close to arrest many times since his arrival. The rumor is spread through the city like fire through a mound of dried straw. Some say that he is the Messiah, and some say that he is the Son of God. I pray each day to God to ask his blessings on myself and my family. And although I know that it is wrong to do so, on some days I have prayed to God to ask that he allow me to live long enough to see the coming of the Chosen One, to see for myself the ancient prophecies fulfilled. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me who will be ruler over Israel. Origins are from of old, from ancient times. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I myself saw Jesus enter the city riding on a donkey while the peoples of Israel rejoiced. Now it is said that Jesus has been betrayed by one of his followers, his disciple, Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. Even my closest friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me, and they have pierced my hands and my feet. He He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and similar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Can it be that this man who commands no armies, who does not adorn himself with beautiful raiment, who speaks to harlots and embraces lepers, can it be that this man is the Son of God? Can it be that God has heard my prayers and that the people of Israel will be delivered by Jesus? I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. I am no stranger to sorrow and despair. I have stood by as two of my children have died of fever and plague. I have seen young men, the children of my kin, be arrested by the Romans and put to death for their rioting against the injustices and the blasphemy committed by the emperors, generals, and governors. It is said by some who claim to be wise in such matters that there is a place in the road that is your life, that when the anguished soul finally despairs, a moment in your life when your mind grows weary and your heart is dark and even your spirit falls away. Some say that after much grief and drowning in tears, it is wise and good to rise up and put all those troubles away, to start anew. I say no, for the chains of despair have no key, and the soul destroyed by the beast of hopelessness can never be restored. In this life, there are things done that cannot be undone. Jesus has been arrested. He has been handed over to the princes of darkness. I will pray to God to ask that Jesus' life be spared. No harm will come to him. But I tell you true and honest, if Jesus is the Son of God, then I cannot hope for an answer to my prayers. For if I had sent my Son into the world to bring salvation and freedom to all the peoples of Israel, and it came to pass that my Son, whom I love more than myself, had been beaten and tortured by the hand of man, I would turn a deaf ear to Israel's prayers. I would bring forth the same wrath that destroyed Sodom and brought down the walls of Jericho. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. What have we done? What have we done? O people of Israel, we have truly lost our way.